Hi, I'm Travis Richards, musician and composer for Neverending Nights Machinima series, and you're listening to the Only Never Win a Nights podcast.
This is so exciting! Wow! Where to begin?
It's the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community, by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hello, this is Trey, a.k.a. Ashikan Zelo, and this is episode 119 of the Neverwinter Nights Podcast. In this episode, we have back on the show Travis Richards, not Smith, a.k.a. Snaif. This time we are going to be talking about and showcasing the music that he's has so talently created for the NWN world to enjoy. Welcome to the show, Travis.
Hello. Thank you.
So why don't you start out and introduce yourself, give us a little background, and tell us how long you've been playing Neverwinter Nights.
All right. Well, I guess outside of Neverwinter Nights, I'm a musician by trade. I go to school at Northern Kentucky University, and I'm studying for a trombone performance major. I also study composition there, and I'm actually... there's a couple premieres of my pieces here, one on December 10th and another on November 18th. So outside of my compositions that I put in Neverwinter Nights on the Vault Network, mm-hmm. I also composed for more academic purposes. I guess when it comes down to Neverwinter Nights, I've been playing ever since I was a junior in high school when I picked up the game. This is before any of the expansion packs. So... it's been quite a while, and I guess now that I'm in my fifth year of college, so it's quite a while, I guess, I've been playing. So.
Yeah. Have you played through Neverwinter Nights 2?
I have it, but I haven't had a chance to play it at all with my college schedule.
Yep. Understandable.
Yeah.
School comes first.
Right. Unfortunately, yeah.
So, why did you decide to start making music for the Neverwinter Nights community?
Well, I actually kind of stumbled upon the Vault Network, the Neverwinter Vault, and I looked at the, you know, they have their sounds category, and I looked into that and saw a few compositions by a few people there, and I really was interested, and I wanted to look at how I could put my own music on there. I guess at this point, I only had freeware software that I downloaded off the internet, nothing too fancy, so if you go back and listen to my first stuff, it really didn't sound that great, and it's...
I beg to differ.
Yeah.
If the older stuff that you're talking about is on your website, I listened to all of it. It sounded all excellent to me.
There's only actually a couple pieces of the older software on the website.
Oh, okay.
So, that's The Grove and Triumphant Return.
Right.
So... I basically exceeded the limits with my software at that point, and I had to buy new software if I wanted to go any further.
Cool.
Yep.
Well, I couldn't tell, but those two are very good.
Yeah.
Actually, speaking of The Grove, that's what you heard at the beginning when we started the interview. So how did you come up with the also known as Snafe? There's got to be a story behind that.
Oh, yeah, that name goes back quite a ways. It was actually... do you remember the game Ultima Online?
Yes, uh-huh.
Well, I started playing that about... No, it's been more than 10 years now. I was playing on my brother's account, actually. He let me have one of his characters. Mm-hmm. And so I was trying to think of a name to come up with, with my brother's help, and I came up with the name Snafe, and it kind of stuck. I used it all through Ultima Online. When I started playing StarCraft, I used my username in StarCraft. Started playing Neverwinter Nights, used it there, and I used it throughout all my Dungeons & Dragons sessions I ever played, so it just kind of stuck.
Cool. What was the first music that you composed for NWN? Was it Triumphant Return?
Actually, Triumphant Return was quite a newer piece than what I had posted on the vault. The first piece I ever posted, I think, was called The Mountain. And this is, I can't remember how long ago it was. I think I just barely graduated high school at this point. Uh-huh. And I go back and listen to it now, and it's kind of, I think it sounds silly. So I think that I can see that I've progressed since then. At least I'd like to think so. So,
is that a newer one then? So Triumph Return is a newer one?
Well, it's. I was still using my older software that I had, and that's about as I was pushing it to about as far as I could get that software at that point.
Okay.
And that's about the point where I actually went out and purchased the new software that I use now.
Okay.
So.
So, as you heard at the beginning, as I introduced Richard, one of his songs called The Grove, Travis, what inspired that song?
Wow, the Grove, I was actually, nothing really much went into writing that piece. I'm actually quite surprised it made Hall of Fame. It's very simple. The form is just a very simple ABA format, and it's a very... very few instruments, and I guess it goes to show that something simple can succeed. It doesn't have to be all complicated and advanced to be successful. So
how many of your songs have made the Hall of Fame?
That's the only one so far.
That's the only one so far?
Yeah.
Excellent. So before you compose a song, do you have an idea or a topic or a feeling that you're trying to convey? How does that process work?
Well, there's actually quite a few different processes that go on. There's the one I usually do is I sit down in front of a piano, and I'll just sit there for a few hours, and I have some manuscript paper out in front of me, and I just write out all my ideas that come to my head, and then I go and I organize it all in the computer. But that's something I do more for, I guess, more the academic side of my compositions. Mm-hmm. There's... A lot of times I'll also listen to music. I listen to a lot of soundtracks. That's what's usually playing whenever I'm on my iPod or anything, whenever I'm listening or walking around. And I'm inspired from that kind of music. And so then I hear that, and I want to take those styles and implement them into what I'm writing. But usually, though, my compositions are based on my emotions and my feelings. And you can tell how I'm feeling at one point or another just by what compositions I'm churning out. If I'm angry or happy or love struck, you know. But I guess, and then there's sometimes people come to me and ask me to write stuff. Neverending Nights is an example. I mean, mm-hmm. they just Thomas, he'll say, all right, this episode needs to be a epic battle. There's a big battle going on, and I'll think that out in my head. Then a few days later, I'll have him something that you can work with. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering if they maybe sent you the video ahead of time or something, and you composed with the video. But you're saying they just kind of give you what they want to convey in the video, and then you compose it.
Yeah, it kind of a general style. And like, for example, there's the Pirates melody. They asked me to write something that's kind of pirate-like, so I wrote a pirate melody. I mean, the theme for the mother, I had to make something that's dark and epic. So a lot of different things like that. And I tried writing according to what they asked.
Now, you've posted a lot of your compositions out on the vault. Have any module builders used your music in their modules or builds or anything?
Well, I've never actually personally seen any, but I have people all the time asking me if they prefer permission to use my music. And there's actually one in particular was some people were making a Neverwinter Nights 2 version of the Realm of Ultima. And I had posted some music. That's one thing I like to do is I like to rearrange old video game music from, like, Ultima and Drakensang and the really old computer games back when I was a child. And they saw that, and they asked me to write some music for them. So I wrote a series of Ultima pieces, or arranged from the older MIDI files them. So
cool. I bet that was fun.
Oh, yeah. A lot of fun. I love those old video games a lot, so just a chance to redo the music and actually have it used in something was great.
Yeah, I think music makes the games, because it, puts you in the right mood and makes you remember, it makes it more memorable, I guess.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say, Dad? Yeah.
Yeah. I always turn the music all the way up whenever I'm playing the game. I go into the settings, and the first thing I do is crank the music up.
There you go.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm going to play Hammer and Steel. All
right.
And then you tell us a little bit about the piece after I play it.
All right. Hammer and Steel, I wrote it right after I got my my new software. I just purchased the East West Quantum Leap Symphonic Orchestra, and I was kind of messing around with it and trying to get the hang of it. And with this piece, I was experimenting with two different things. I was experimenting with the percussion and a lot of the stuff that went on into that, and so you can hear a very percussive nature that comes through in the piece. And there's also a section where it cuts just to straight brass. And I was experimenting to see what the brass was capable of and see actually how realistic the brass sounded. And I was actually quite pleased with the way it turned out. And I actually had no idea what to call it at first. And then I listened to it, and I just happened to be playing as a dwarf and something. I was like, well, I'll just call it Hammer and Steel. So...
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Now, recently you wrote two pieces, Accent and Sonovox. Did I say that correctly?
Yeah.
And you put those on the vault. So what has your feedback been on those two pieces?
Well, from what I've seen, people really like them. But the problem is that the sounds and the music that's on the vault, it really doesn't get, I guess for the past 2 or 3 years, it's been kind of overlooked, and not very many people have looked into it. It's actually sad. I've been trying my hardest to keep posting music to get people to come listen. But, and to maybe, because I remember when I first started posting things, there was a lot of people there, and they all loved just to comment on the music, and it really declined. And I look in the other fields, and they don't really they have declined, but not quite to that extent. And it's really sad because there's a lot of really good composers out there. I mean, some, just for example, like Christopher Escalante, he's a very dynamic and very promising composer, and he's one you probably want to keep your eye out for in the future. So, and he's actually been one of the ones that has posted on my music.
Cool.
So, and he's left some very positive feedback, along with many other people that have. So,
well, speaking of the other composers in the community, has any other composers, I guess, been your role models or anything, or inspired you as far as what you've created?
Well, my compositional role models come from film and the soundtracks that come out of films.
Oh, okay.
Like my number one favorite is Hans Zimmer. He just gets that emotion out there, and it's great. I draw my inspiration kind of from those types of composers. So.
Cool. Now, since you were on the show last week, you wrote a new piece called March of the Hero.
Yeah.
So what inspired this piece?
Well, I had actually been kind of having a bad, I guess you can say, a bad week. And I was really frustrated with everything. I was actually having a writer's block for composing. I was really struggling with writing music, and I was just getting just frustrated. And so finally I sat down, and I'm just like, all right, I'm gonna write something. I don't care what, I'm going to write something. And attempt after attempt, it just failed. And so I kept writing stuff, deleting it, and ripping manuscript up, and I was really frustrated. And so I started listening to music and soundtracks, and that actually kind of goes back to what I said before. I was listening to a lot of Hans Zimmer, mainly Pirates of the Caribbean soundtrack. And you'll hear a lot of that in there, because I developed ideas that I pushed on and kind of turned them into my own ideas, and I branched out from there. And I used a lot of things in it that I normally don't use in this style of writing. I mean, I used these are things that I use more in my academic pieces. I used some different orchestrational techniques and complex meter changes. I went into different modes. And one thing that I love to do that people hate for some reason is I like to not resolve things and leave things so it's an unresolved chord. And I did a lot of that in this piece that I normally don't do in my video game music. So,
do you have anything new in the works?
I actually have I have quite a few things that are in the works. I mean, there's always
playing around.
Yeah, there's always something I'm working with. There's always something just churning through my mind that I want to get out there. But,
so anything new that we could debut here on the podcast?
Yeah, I actually do have one. It's one I wrote just Friday evening, and it's kind of aggressive. You can tell I was in kind of a bad mood. not bad mood. I guess I was just angry. I guess that is a bad mood. and it's quite fresh. I think it's something I haven't really done before, and I'm quite pleased with it. So,
okay, and now I'm going to play this one for your listening pleasure. Excellent.
Thank you.
So you say, what is that called? That's called So It Begins.
Yep, So It Begins.
Well, that's Travis Richards, guys. If you haven't already, go to his website, travisarichards.com, and listen for yourself. I mean, his music is excellent, as you can tell. So if you need any unique, fresh, bold music for your module, get a hold of Travis. Two thumbs up from the NWN podcast. Hey, before we go, Travis, is there anything else you would like to let the community know or tell the community?
Well, I guess all I can say is, what is a video game without music? So,
well played. Well, as I said, you rock, man.
Well, thank you.
Some good music.
Thanks.
And music is kind of dear and near to my heart anyway because, well, my wife is a musician. And,
oh, yeah?
Yeah, and so I'm always trying to introduce music into the podcast. Hey, I appreciate you coming and taking some time and being on the show with us.
Oh, it's been great.
All right, Travis. Take it easy.
Yep, you too.
Hi, this is Tony, a.k.a. Spool32, announcing the Avalos $100 Dungeon Building Contest. Our contest is running from November 20th, 2009 to January 20th, 2010. We will not be accepting dungeons downloaded from the vault and sent to us, but if you already have a suitable dungeon you'd like to submit, feel free. For purposes of the contest, a dungeon will be considered a self-contained area with a single clear entrance and exit, otherwise unconnected to the modules. Submissions should be complete and ready for QA testing. Please feel free to contact us or check the Avalos Wiki for any setting-specific information you might need. This step can be quite important for smooth integration of your area into the game world, so please grab any staff member in our IRC channel, Channel Avalos on stratix.frws.com, or email staff at avalos.org with any questions you might have. Builders will remain anonymous until the contest ends. We might request edits for continuity or balance purposes. If you've never built for Avalos before, please contact us for more detailed suggestions on how to get your dungeon through the QA process in a grief-free manner. On January 20th, we'll be taking the top 3 to 5 modules, depending on the submission volume, and submitting them to our QA team. After QA is completed, they'll be added into the live game. We will open voting once all 3 or 5 modules are live, and each player will get a single vote, each for first and second favorites. 15 days after the voting opens, we will close the polls and announce the winner of a $100 prize. For more details, please visit www.avalos.org. Build us a dungeon, win $100.
You can always reach us via our website at NeverWinterNightsPodcast.com or by email at show@NeverWinterNightsPodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Never Winter Nights Podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights Podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights Podcast. The Neverwinter Nights Podcast is copyright 2009.
Hello, I'm Travis Richards. That didn't work.
Yeah, that'll be a good blooper.
Alright. Should I keep it another shot then?
Yeah.
Alright. Wow. I wrote that?
Okay. Okay, I have that file. How? I don't know why it's not. They changed the interface here on this, on my music sharing thing. I'm gonna see.